Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Shalom, shalom.
Thank you, Brother Job.
Welcome.
Welcome, sisters and brothers. The Living Waters radio blog. As Brother Job said, tonight's precept or lesson will be holy unto sanctification.
Holy unto sanctification.
Before we get into this lesson, let's go ahead and open up with a prayer. Heavenly Father, great God of Israel, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord, and to rightly divide and discern your word. Father God, as always, we ask for the safety of all the saints and your continual hedge about us. And Father, we also ask, as always, for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Father, we ask that you edify us or open our eyes and ears and give us what it is that you would have us see and hear, Lord. For these and all your blessings, Father, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, let's jump right in. Brother Joe, for the second week in a row, opened up with our opening scripture. But there's something that I wanted to touch on in these opening scriptures. The first one being, and I'll touch on this since they were already read, and then we'll go into the next set of scriptures. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
Yeah.
To be ignorant, there's a lot of slangs out there and there's a lot of misinterpretations of the definition of the word ignorant. It just means lack of knowledge. So when he's saying here, your former lusts in your ignorance, that means when you didn't have any understanding, sisters and brothers. And he goes on to say, but as he which has called you is holy, our Heavenly Father, be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's not that he's just telling us do something because he wants to see us jump through hoops. We're trying to get that mindset to become just like God. We're created to be gods. We are gods. But like it says in the Psalms, we'll die like men. We have to practice that mindset, just like a sport team or whatever. Practice till it becomes perfect. Practice makes perfect. Always practicing, 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 till it becomes second nature. They do that in the military to keep you alive in combat. They get you so brainwashed that your actions, you're not even thinking. You're just doing because you've done them 100,000 times. Like that back going to hit the number two hole or whatever. And that pulling guard pulls and makes that block right as he hits that hole. And when it's done so many times in a row, it might just be a little sliver of light, but that running back's got it through because the block's made at the perfect time. The running back's there at the perfect time. He's through the hole. There's so many instances about practice makes perfect. It's the same thing with us. We're trying to become God, to gain our right back to eternal life. So let's go look at a few places where it's written, be ye holy as I am holy. Let's go to Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Leviticus 11. And Brother Eric, if you'll be so kind as to start us off, let's start this off and read the first three verses, and we'll skip a little bit from there, brother. Whenever you're ready to kick this off, bro.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth.
Uh-huh.
Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat.
Now, we know this is God's dietary law. He tells us what's good for us to eat, tells us what's not good for us to eat. Skip down to verse 9 and continue, brother.
These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever have fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat.
Yes, sir. Skip down to 13 and continue, brother.
And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ostrich and the osprey.
Yes, sir. Skip to 21 and continue, brother.
Yet these may ye eat of every flying creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth.
So now you see that the Lord is showing us continually, and we're skipping through the chapter, of course, for the sake of time. You got to do some things on your own. You go get up in the morning, do your morning meditation, and dig into the dietary law tomorrow. But we're skipping around a little bit to show you. He's showing us what we can eat, what we can't eat. And so far, we haven't seen anything about it written, be ye holy as I am holy. Let's skip down to 43 and continue with this chapter. Go ahead, brother.
Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby.
So now the Lord, he's finishing up with the dietary law. He's giving us what we can eat and what we can't eat of all the things that are on the earth. Go ahead, brother.
For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy.
You shall sanctify yourselves. You shall sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. So he's telling you, he gave you a dietary law, and now he's telling you, be holy, for I am holy. And sisters and brothers, we know that we can only save ourselves. It's by our persuasion of our heart on our faith or our belief, and it's putting that into practice by showing it with our works. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
And like Brother Job said in the beginning, to be sanctified, the definition of sanctify is to set apart. But when you are set apart by God, now you are truly sanctified and you have become holy. And you can see where there's places where the Lord sets apart apparent evil or wicked people for his purposes. So when he sanctifies or sets them apart, it's for the reason that he's chose to do that. But when we as saints are sanctified, or we sanctify or set ourselves apart in service to him, we become holy. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth.
Now, last week we dealt with teachers of God, and we dealt with the Lord giving it to Moses and Aaron, and the high priesthood would give it to the Levites, which were the rest of the priesthood, and they would teach the rest of the people. And what they were going to do, or what they were supposed to do, was make a difference between the clean and the unclean. And then, because they didn't do that, when Messiah returns, he was going to reinstitute the priesthood and use the sons of the Levites that went astray at the time that Israel was brought through the wilderness, and he was going to make them do their job properly, and he was going to make them make a difference between the clean and the unclean, and the holy and the unholy. So now look, the Lord's already talked to Moses and Aaron. We read that in verse 1. Now he's talking to the rest of the nation of Israel through Moses and Aaron. And look what he says. Finish that up, brother.
To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten.
I make that point, sisters and brothers, because there's too many people out there saying that the covenant is just the Ten Commandments and the Ten Commandments alone, and all the other statutes and laws and commandments are done away with. But the Lord, when he scattered Israel, told them, I need you to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, and because you're not doing it, I'm scattering you. But yet when I return, I'll reinstitute this flesh and blood priesthood, and you're going to do your job and make a difference between the clean and the unclean. The dietary law has not been done away with, sisters and brothers. That commandment at the end was for us, all of us, individually, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean. And we have other lessons on that. If there's anybody out there that wants to contend the dietary law is done away with or has questions, as always, you can contact us. But let's move on to Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20. And I'll stop being so long-winded. I don't know. I got something in my hair today. I don't know what it is. Leviticus 20. It's got, maybe it's the nice weather in November. I just can't take it. I hope it don't stop, though. Leviticus 20. And, brother, pick it up at verse 7. 20 and 7. Go ahead.
Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God.
You notice the Lord is telling us to set ourselves apart in service to him and be holy as he is holy. Of course, to be Christian means to be Christ-like. And he's the only one that was ever in the flesh that was without sin. Skip to 25 and read 25 and 26, brother. Go ahead.
Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and
uh-huh.
ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated you from you as unclean.
Now I'm going to go back here to verse 7, where the Lord said, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. He didn't say my dietary law. He said, you shall keep my statutes. And if you kept reading past verse 8, of course, we skipped, he goes into committing adultery, lying, cheating, stealing. He goes into the Ten Commandments. But he says, be ye holy as I am holy, keep my statutes. Now, when we get down to verse 25, the Lord goes back into the dietary law because it's all part of the covenant. It's all his statutes, his commandments, his laws. Go ahead and continue, brother, verse 26.
And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine.
Severed just means separated or set apart or sanctified. Of course, when it's done by God, it makes you holy. Let's back up a chapter here and let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Of course, Leviticus is all about the law, sisters and brothers. The first five books of Moses or the first five books of the Bible are at least parts of the book of the law. 19, and pick it up at verse 1, brother. 19 and 1, go ahead.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. We're reading all over the law where, as Peter said, as it is written, to be holy as the Lord is holy. Let's skip to 11 and continue, brother. Go ahead.
You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another.
Huh?
Verse 11. Verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
Huh?
Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord.
That's a lot more than just the dietary law and just the Ten Commandments, isn't it? He's actually going in depth on how to love your neighbor as yourself. Go ahead, brother.
Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord.
Go ahead, brother.
thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him.
Go ahead, bro.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
So now the Lord's even going as far as to tell them how they're supposed to deal with physical Israel, with their brother. But now what about the stranger that came out with them? Just in case Israel started getting a little too crazy and started going against the stranger, skip down to 34 and continue, brother.
But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you.
As one what? Born among you. In other words, there's no difference. Go ahead, brother.
And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in a strange, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
And then he's just going to continue about where he left off before he started talking about the stranger. Go ahead, brother.
You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in metyard, in weight, or in measure, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt.
And he's talking there, about everything here from grooming standards in verses 27 and 28. You got to read it on your own. How to deal with elders. He's dealing with everything here. In other words, personal conduct for a servant of God. And what does he call these, brother? Verse 37.
Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord.
Because what did he say in the beginning of the chapter when we read this? Be ye holy as I am holy. And then every time the Lord says that, he gives us something to do. So, what is it exactly that sanctifies us or sets ourselves apart unto the Lord? Because we've read several times we're supposed to sanctify ourselves. Let's go to Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts 20. And we're going to read one verse, brother, verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. This is what sanctifies us. Go ahead, brother.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
The word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. In other words, the word of his grace, his word, sanctifies you or makes you sanctified. What else sanctifies us? Let's go to Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts 26. Acts 26, because we know it all starts with the word. We know it all starts with the word. Jesus himself said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We know it's the word, but what else? Acts 26 and 1 verse 18, brother. 26 and 18. Go ahead.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, that is in me.
Among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in me. Well, what is faith? There's a lot out there on what faith is, but let's just go read two verses in Hebrews 11, and maybe next week or the week after, maybe we'll pick up a lesson on faith. But let's just go look real quick at God's definition of faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Or should I say one of the Lord's definitions of faith. Because we're sanctified by the word of God, so we could sanctify ourselves by the word of God, and we sanctify ourselves by faith. Hebrews 11, and pick it up at verse 1, brother, 11 and 1, and then we'll skip to another verse. Go ahead.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
It's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. The best example I can give you is when you walk into a dark room, you have faith that when you hit that light switch, you're going to be able to see, and you're going to walk three or four more steps, and you're going to go to the left or right of the ottoman. You're not going to do the Dick Van Dyke or whatever. You're not going to trip over the ottoman. So you have faith when you flip that switch, the lights will come on. So every time you walk in a dark room without skipping a beat, without stopping or whatever, you just keep walking. You hit that switch and you just keep walking. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope when I hit that switch, the light goes on. It's the evidence of things not seen. When that light goes on, I don't know exactly what makes it work, but I know that when I hit that switch, that light goes on. So faith is nothing more, sisters and brothers, than belief. Faith is belief. But now let's make it really clear. Skip down to verse 6 and read that, brother.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for when you come to God, you must what? You must have faith. Or you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you have to have faith in him. You have to have belief. And if you are of the mind to have belief that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, your belief makes you obedient. So faith is belief, which is just quite simply obedience. And let's go to James, the second chapter, and kind of hammer this home one time. James 2. James 2, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. We'll start this at verse 18. 2 and 18, brother, go ahead.
Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Now, James must have been playing with whoever he was writing here, because it's impossible to show your faith without your works. Yeah, I believe, man, I believe. Then, well, aren't you going to get up and move? The train's coming right through your living room in 10 minutes. Yeah, I believe that's going to happen, man, but you know, I'm watching this movie. It'll be over in an hour, and then I'll get up. Is that really faith? Is that really belief? Is that showing your faith without your works? No, it's impossible. You cannot show your faith without works. But go ahead and continue, brother.
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
So James says, I will show you my faith by my works. And then he's going to give an example that if you believe that there is one God, you do well. But then he's going to warn you, but the devils also believe and they tremble. And what are the devils? Disobedient to the word of God. So do they really believe? Of course, it's too late for them, but they must not have believed when they followed Satan, because otherwise they wouldn't have. They would have stayed strong with the angels that are still in heaven. Go ahead and continue, brother.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And we know you could judge a man by his fruits. You see a servant of God, you watch his conversation and his conduct, and you listen to what he's saying, and you go, that's a servant of God. And then you could pick one out, and you could say, oh, man, that's a loving and caring, you know, sister or brother. Oh, they worship on the Lord's Day. I'll bet you that's a Sunday's Christian. And then you could say, yeah, that sister and brother right there, every Sabbath, every feast day, they hear this, that, and the other, but he ain't got no faith in Christ. Man, I saw him coming out of the club the other day, man, half naked with three women on his arm. You can judge a man by his fruit, sisters and brothers. You can judge a man by his fruit. And James is saying faith without works is dead. Because if you've got faith, you're going to show it by your works. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. We've been going here quite a bit, but we need to talk about this a little bit. 1 John 3, and we're going to read one verse. 1 John 3, well, all we want to get is we want to get God's definition of sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4, brother, go ahead.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
Transgression or breaking of. And that law is God's commandments, statutes, and judgments. Let's go to Romans, the seventh chapter. Romans, the seventh chapter. A lot of people like to say the law has been done away with. But yet Peter is quoting the law when he says, as it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And then there's a lot of places all over the book that we're going to start getting into now that talks about being sanctified or set apart by God, and that only you can save yourself by setting yourself or sanctifying yourself unto him. But now we know what God's definition of sin is. A lot of people like to twist Paul's writings, and even Peter warned us about that. But there's no twist in this. Let's see what Paul had to say about the covenant or the Ten Commandments, the moral or royal law. Romans 7 and verse 7, brother, go ahead.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
So the law's not sin, because I didn't know sin unless it was for the law. So the law itself is not sin. It's the breaking of or transgressing of the law. Go ahead, brother.
But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead.
For sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Concupiscence means like the coveting of worldly things or an appetite for worldly things. And for without the law, sin was dead. When I didn't have the law in front of me to tell me that what I was doing was coveting after these worldly things or that I was chasing after them, I didn't know what sin was. I didn't know. I didn't have the law. Go ahead, brother.
For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
Because the commandment pointed out to me my behavior, my conversation was an abomination in God's eyes. It was contrary to his commandments. So sin revived and I died. Go ahead, brother.
And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
And the commandment which was ordained to life were those Ten Commandments, because that's how you show your faith. We're saved by grace through faith. The Lord, when we sinned, didn't kill us. He gave us the opportunity to learn how to serve him and how to fear him and how to keep his commandments. And so once I learned the error of my ways and I took hold of that covenant, which is those Ten Commandments, that law became ordained unto life. Go ahead, brother.
For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me.
Sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Because once I started to understand what the law said on how to conduct myself, it was very plain to me that I was on the wrong side of the fence, that I was actually sinning in God's face instead of serving him. And in some instances, some of us think that we are serving him until that law pops up. Bam, Sabbath day. Bam, dietary law. Bam, how to treat your neighbor. That law pops up, it shows us the error of our ways, and it sets us back on the right track. So what does Paul say about the law in verse 12, brother?
Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good.
The law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. We're going to go ahead and let the rest of the Romans lay right here. We're going to jump over to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2, and let's pick it up, brother, at verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 and 19. Go ahead, brother.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
So now once we see that the law, that standard, is showing us that we're not walking pleasing in the sight of God, and we want to be pleasing to him because we want to be holy, and we're trying to sanctify ourselves, what we need to do is we need to depart from iniquity. Go ahead, brother. In other words, get away from sin. Stop sinning. At least stop sinning when we know we're sinning. We could deal with that sin through ignorance if we're doing that when the Lord opens our heart to that. But the things we know are wrong, we got to stop doing because we're trying to be holy unto sanctification. Go ahead, brother.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
Paul switches it up a little bit. He says that all those that nameth the name of Christ must depart from iniquity. And then he's going to tell us in a great house, you know, there's vessels that are just common vessels. And then there's things that we break out when the company gets there to make the impression, so to speak. And now he's going to jump back in and talk about departing from iniquity. But he's likening this unto those vessels of honor and dishonor. Of course, the ones of honor would be the good china you break out when the guests come over. And the ones of dishonor would be the ones you just use all the time with your family. If it breaks, it breaks. Ah, no big deal. We'll get a new one. So now he's going to go back unto that. Go ahead, brother.
And if a man therefore purge himself from these,
iniquity that he talked about in verse 19. Go ahead, brother.
He shall be a vessel unto honor.
And he shall be a vessel unto honor, just like good china when you're putting it out for them special guests. Go ahead, brother.
Sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work.
And you're sanctified or set apart and you're good for the master's use. That's what meet means. Good for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Prepared unto every good work. Go ahead, brother.
Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Faith, charity, faith. That's our belief, our walk. Following righteousness. That's God's commandments. Peace, being a peacemaker with them that call on the Lord out of a what? A pure heart. Remember, when we see wickedness within the congregation, sisters and brothers, we're supposed to do our best to either purge that or get away from it too. Go ahead, brother.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes.
Don't be that stumbling block with some kind of doctrine you think is absolute when you know in your heart it's really not. Go ahead, brother.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves.
Meekness,
if God preadventure.
Those that oppose themselves. They oppose themselves. How do you oppose yourself? You don't receive all prophesying with readiness of mind, and then you don't go into the book to prove all things and see what's true and abstain from anything that looks like it's wicked or evil. That's how you oppose yourself. Servants of God that are striving for the kingdom, you're in the book all the time and you're proving all things and you're holding fast to that which is good. Go ahead and continue, brother. Tell us where you're at.
Verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
That they, through your meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that you're gentle unto all men and you're apt to teach and you're patient with meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves or sanctify themselves unto God out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Go to Jude, the first chapter. How many chapters in Jude?
One.
Nobody ever corrects me, man. I used to say that at the congregation all the time. And we'll go to Jude, the first chapter, and then at the end of the class, I say, and remember, if I go to a book and there's only one chapter, you got to correct me, and nobody ever caught it, ever, not once. That's all right. Jude, read verses 1 and 2, brother. Let's see, who sanctifies us? We sanctify ourselves by the word of God, but who is it really that's sanctifying or setting us apart? Go ahead, brother.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and
Father
preserved.
Father sanctifies us, and how are we preserved, brother?
In Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied.
Sir, our Heavenly Father draws us or calls us or sanctifies us in the shed blood of Christ Jesus by our obedience to the faith. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see what else the Word of God calls sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And, brother, when you get there, let's start it at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, brother.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
So nobody from a fornicator through homosexuals and lesbians all the way through thieves and drunkards and revilers and extortioners, none of them have any part in the kingdom of God. What's verse 11 say, brother?
And such were some of you, but ye are washed.
We are washed of God. Go ahead.
But ye are sanctified.
Or set apart by God. Go ahead.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. It's all talking about being sanctified by God. Let's go see what else it is. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, real quick. Romans, the 5th chapter, real quick. Romans 5. Romans 5. And, brother, we're just going to read 3 verses. Start us off in verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8, brother.
But God commended his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Uh-huh.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
So there it is again, that we're justified, just like we read about in 1 Corinthians. Okay, that's another word for sanctified. Go ahead and continue.
For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
And another word for sanctified by God is also reconciled. And there's a lot of different things that the Lord calls sanctified in his word. But again, we're trying to keep this down to an hour today. Let's go back to 1 Peter, this time the 3rd chapter. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Let's see how it is we sanctify ourselves. Let the word tell us. 1 Peter 3, and brother, pick this up at verse 8. 1 Peter 3 and 8. Go ahead.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous.
So he's talking right away about our conversation or our conduct. Go ahead, brother.
Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
That ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Another word for sanctified is called. But notice what we are. We're sanctified through, what is he telling us? Our conversation. Go ahead, brother.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
Christians don't have guile or strive not to. Every once in a while it slips out in certain situations or instances. But like Jesus said about, I believe it was Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whose mouth there is no guile. And then the prophets told us that the prophecy of how Jesus had to suffer and die, that there was no guile in his mouth. And sure, to the prophecy of the prophets, there was none. He never even opened his mouth when they put him to death. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it.
Uh-huh.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
So being that we are called, we sanctify ourselves through obedience. Skip to 15 and read verse 15, brother. Go ahead.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of hope, of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man while you keep the commandments of the great God of Israel, the God of the creation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians 7, and we're going to read one verse here, brother. 2 Corinthians 7 and one verse. Verse 1, go ahead.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, or sanctify ourselves unto God. Now, let's look at a couple examples of not being sanctified by God anyway. Let's go to Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, and if Isaiah and Jeremiah will quit sticking together in my book, we'll pick this up at verse 2. Isaiah 65, brother, and verse 2. Go ahead.
I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts.
The Lord's talking about the physical nation of Israel back in the day before they were scattered. Go ahead, brother.
A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick,
uh-huh,
which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels.
Go ahead,
verse
brother.
Verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not nearer to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day.
So now they sacrifice in the gardens, they burneth incense upon altars of brick, they remain among the graves, lodge in the monuments, eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things as in their vessels. And then they turn around and say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. And the Lord says this is a smoke in his nose all the day long. He starts it off talking about the physical nation of Israel, and he just opens this up as the chapter goes on, and he's talking about anybody that's abomination in his eyes. Because now go to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Pick it up at verse 14, brother, and look what the Lord says here. Isaiah 66 and 14. Go ahead.
And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish, like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies.
Huh?
For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire.
Now this is talking about the Lord's day, or the return of Messiah. Go ahead.
For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many.
So the Lord's going to plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many. Go ahead, brother, verse 17.
They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord.
They sanctify themselves, or set themselves apart, behind the one tree in the garden, eating the swine's flesh and the broth of abominations and all that that's not pleasing to God. There were two trees in the midst of the garden, sisters and brothers, that did not grow up out of the ground and were not for food. The one was the tree of life, which was Messiah, and the other one was the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was Satan. But that's completely for another lesson. Let's continue. Let's go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5. Sisters and brothers, we have a choice to make. The book's very clear about that all over the law. Ephesians 5, let's look at it here in verse 1. 5 and 1. Go ahead, brother.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior.
So be followers of God, walk in love. He's given us things that we're supposed to do. Go ahead, brother.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once the name among you as become a saint.
Huh?
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
So now the Lord is telling you how to conduct yourself, and then he's telling you how not to conduct yourself. He's giving you a choice here. He's telling you what's pleasing in his sight. Go ahead, brother.
For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Uh-huh.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
We're saying don't let any man deceive you with these vain words, and we know about proving all things, and that because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So he's telling you don't be disobedient like the wicked, and then he's going to tell you something else. Verse 7, brother.
Be not ye therefore partakers with them.
He's telling you don't be partakers with them. He's given you the opportunity to choose. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel 20. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 11. 20 and verse 11. Go ahead.
And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live, even live in them.
Here it is, another choice. If a man do, he shall even live in them. The just shall walk by faith. And it says that a just man shall walk in his faith. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them.
And again, then he says he gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify or set them apart. So he's given us a choice, sisters and brothers. How do I know it's a choice? He's talking to Israel, and look what he says next. Go ahead, brother.
But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted, then I said, pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them.
That's how I know it's a choice, sisters and brothers. It's free will. Yes, the book says that we were predestined, but you have to understand the scriptures in the context when we're talking about predestination. It's free will. It's a choice to serve him, sisters and brothers. The Lord could have gave them the commandments, statutes, and judgments and then fixed their hearts so they wouldn't sin. But that's not what this God's about. This God wants those to serve him freely and willingly, because at the appointed time when we become just like him and we're Messiah's brother and friend, we'll be just like him in all things, in spiritual body and in mind. And we'll be incapable of sinning. But this world against us, as the brothers, is a proving ground for our hearts. And we have the choice whether or not to follow him. That's why we don't just go around dunking people in water. We make sure we teach them first and they understand what it is they need to do to serve this mighty God and gain right back to the tree of life. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. And then we have two more places after this. Romans 1. Romans 1. And brother, read verses 1 and 2, please.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
Separated just means sanctified. He separated himself unto the gospel of God. Go ahead, brother.
Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures.
And he tells you what gospel he separated himself unto God with. The one that was in the book that the prophets talked about in the Holy Scriptures, in the law. Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Let's look at how we make our beginning of being holy unto sanctification. Matthew 28. This is a start, sisters and brothers, and this start right here must continue for our lifetime. That's why the Lord gave us a choice and said, think well about this. I don't want you just to jump in on this, and then when the going gets tough, you're going to leave me. You need to think well about this, because persecution's going to come. Temptation's going to come. It's going to come from those in your own family, from those that mean the most to you. Do you love me? Do you want to be God and be with me one day? Can you endure now? Can you suffer these little persecutions now in the same manner that I put away your death sentence without saying a word, with the right spirit? That's what we're striving for, sisters and brothers. And this is the beginning of being holy under sanctification. Matthew 28, brother, and pick it up at verse 18, please. 28 and 18.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Uh-huh.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
I want you to teach all nations, and I want you to baptize them. Go ahead.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
And what I want you to teach them is to observe all things that I've commanded you to do. And now let's end this at Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2. And one verse, brother, verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38, the start of being holy unto sanctification. Go ahead, brother.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So they asked Peter, he's preaching the gospel, and he's telling them all about how the animal sacrifices are done, and there's no more priesthood on earth and all this, and they're pricked in the hearts, and they say, oh, what do we got to do? And he said, be baptized, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, for the remission of sins that are past, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That, sisters and brothers, is the start. And I hope and pray that we have made clear what it means in this lesson to be holy unto sanctification. So I thank you for the opportunity to rightly divide God's word, and I hope somebody got something from these scriptures.
Amen.
Good lesson.
Man, brother.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise God in Jesus' name.
Bro, you know, a lot of us, man, don't equate that. We always want to talk about being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and you know who I'm talking about. But then, like you said, you go into that Isaiah chapter 66, that just blow all that out the water. How you going to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you eating swine's flesh? You know, they have sanctified themselves.
Corny, corny, corny.
What is you talking about, Miss Doris? How you... What's corny?
I'm not on mute?
No, you're not on mute. We all in your business. We
wow.
all in your business. We can,
wow.
we, it's all over the world. Everybody
wow.
know what you're doing.
Put me on mute.
No, you got to put yourself on mute.
No, I'm not saying nothing. Put me on
That's
mute.
That's what you did, sister.
Really? Wow. I mean, some things you just wouldn't say. You know what I mean? Why put me on mute?
Okay, we'll mute you.
We're going to mute you. Oh, my goodness.
And praise be to God.
Praise be to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, sis. Always good to hear from you. It said, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. They sanctify themselves with sin. That's a deep set, man. And the Lord said he's going to kill them for that. He said, I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come to pass, I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. He said, and they are going to be consumed together for eating it. They sanctified themselves, man. That's a horrible thing. You know, we didn't got away from the sanctification of the Lord and his word and the things that pertain to his word, you know, and start sanctifying ourselves according to this world. Great, 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 great lesson, bro. The way you set that up and to show that, hey, man, you are sanctifying yourself, but not to a living God. You sanctifying yourself onto this world. You separating yourself from life.
Yep.
You got to find out what it means to be real sanctified and holy. You better get back to the dietary laws. You better get back to the Sabbath days. You better go and look at what that priesthood was set up for and how they was taught. You better get back to those things if you want to have any chance at getting into the kingdom. I love that, brother. Amen. Great, great job, Eric, keeping up. Man,
hey.
Paul make you work, Jack.
Yeah, he does.
30 scriptures in 5 minutes. Woo! I know you need a drink of water.
Yeah, I've been drinking.
Amen. Well said, brother. I yield the mic.
Does anybody have any questions and or comments? And as always, you can hit me at 708-418-8811. That's 708-418-8811. You can hit me on Facebook. You can hit me at Fellowship of the Spirit on Facebook or FOTSPM@gmail.com. That's FOTSPM@gmail.com. Does anybody have anything tonight before we go ahead and close out?
I enjoyed your lesson. Very good, Brother Paul, and good reading, brother. I forgot your name.
Oh, my name's Eric. Thank you.
Nice reading, brother.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Praise be to God, sister. Anybody else? Go ahead.
I don't know who was talking.
No, I just had a little something to say, man. I really like
brother.
To get everybody that's involved with the Sounds of Living Waters, man. I like to get everybody to, if they can, tomorrow evening, we can all get on a. Am I speaking too soon? Okay. Next, let's set it up for next Sunday afternoon. Right. Yeah, let's set it up for next Sunday afternoon that we all come together and have a phone conference and we all sit down and we talk, you know, discuss the direction that we're going in.
Man.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's everybody that's involved.
At,
so
at
if
what
you get
time, bro?
Talking about between.
Well, you want to announce and PM us?
Say again?
You want to just wait and PM us once you get a finalized time, or do you have one already?
Yeah, absolutely. That way I can get a gauge on what time everybody's available, you know, and I want at least everybody on deck, you know, so we can all get an opinion and all get an idea of where we want to go and where we're going with the radio blog talk right now and the vision, you know, that the Father's given us to go forward. The blessing and everything is there, so, you know, the coordination is evident, so we got to have it. So I definitely want to set it up for this Sunday. It's just a matter of what time everybody's available. So if, you know, if you can email me or, you know, text me the times. I'm gonna text or send emails out to see where most of us is available at. And, you know, and so that we can have that conference, you know, between families, so we can all be on one page. So that's the other thing. Is that November the 18th, is it, baby?
And you and Jacob,
yeah. Yeah, November the 18th, we're going to have a palooza, the prophetic Bible calendar palooza. That is to say, everybody, how, you know, the way you bring the feast days, how you set in order the feast days. This weekend, we're going to do it that weekend too, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be all about how we set up our calendars according to how, you know, we come together on the feast days for the following year. So everybody get a chance to express themselves, and we're all going to be respectful of each other. We just want to know where everybody coming from. That's all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us say, well, why do you keep the feast days on this day? And why you? Well, this is a good time to express why you do.
Right.
You know. So we setting that up for November. So we're sending out open invitations. you know, to all that's involved, not just the, you know, the Sounds of Living Water ministries, but, you know, anyone that set their own feast day calendar, you know. That's an open forum. So if you want to present the reason why it's cause and effects in the scriptures, that would be those 2 days is the day that you bring it. It's not going to be a date of debate and strife or nothing like that. No, we call it a day of reasoning. Because the Lord say, let us all reason together. We're not in for strife and debate. We all in it for reason. That way I can see where everybody's coming from. That way I learn for myself why my brothers keep this feast day, or my brothers over here keep this feast days, and they get to learn why I keep the feast days the way we are. And then we all throw it on the table, and then we start, you know, it's kind of like going through this big old 1,000-piece puzzle, and we all trying to put it together. You know, it ain't like, you know, I got my part and you got your part, but we all putting the pieces together, you know, as a whole. So if we working together, then we won't get into that part of we start getting the definitive and argumentative, you know. So that's the 18th, the weekend of the 18th of November. So everybody, you know, put that on your to-do list. And, you know, if you got lessons that denote those things, make sure you got your lessons. You will have that window, you know. You'll be given a form. So we're sending out invitations to everybody that on that weekend people can discuss why they keep the feast days the way they do, the calendars the way they do. If you don't do it, then don't say why. Don't look at anybody and say, well, y'all keep the feast. You keep your nonsense to yourself. You don't have a say-so. It's like they tell us, if you ain't vote, then you shouldn't have nothing to say. Well, I didn't vote, and I don't have nothing to say about none of that nonsense. I just look around and I shake my head. So I know God set up kings and bring them down. So that's how it works. I vote for the Lord. Whoever's in the box, that's who the Lord put in there for a reason. So that's my take on it, man. So that's where we at. So with that being said, don't forget, next weekend I'm going to be sending out emails. Watch y'all boxes. Watch out for your boxes. When you get it from me, just let me know what time you're available Sunday so I can at least get a ballpark and I can throw something together where everybody can be on one page and at one time, okay? So that'll be from Sunday afternoon from 12 until. So that'll be 12, let's say, from between the window of 12, and then we'll go from there. You know, because some of us probably won't be available until 8 o'clock in the evening. You know, so we really want to try to get everybody involved in this conversation. Sounds of Living Waters conference. So we want to have it set up. Okay, so that's next Sunday. So keep you all scheduled. Y'all calendars open for that day. All right. So anyone else have any closing comments? Sister Doris, you got anything else you'd like to share with us?
Thank you. No.
You know we love you.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Too.
Amen. And we ain't being corny either. That's real love. Letting you know.
Oh, wow.
Well, Brother Paul, give us a closing comment if you haven't already, man, and we can go wrap this up.
I just wanted to add one thing on to what Brother Job said about November 18th, that weekend. I believe that Sabbath and that Sunday we're dealing with the calendar. Man, let everybody know about this. There's too many classes that don't even teach how they do the calendar. There's too many people out there worshiping in ignorance, and this is a great opportunity to put it on a table. It might be the way your class does it. It might not be, but at least you'll be able to reason and rightly divide for yourself and see how the calendar goes together. Even if you don't get a full understanding, you're going to have, I don't know what, six to eight lessons on the calendar. You're going to get a lot of knowledge thrown out those 2 days. So let's advertise that. And that's all I got, sisters and brothers. It was an honor and a privilege to teach today. And if nobody's got anything for me, I'll talk with you at the appointed time, and I yield the mic to my older brother, Joe.
All right. Well, praise God, and great job, Brother Paul and Eric, and great job keeping up with the scripture, Ray. And everyone that's listening, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone here at the Sounds of Living Waters. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, amen.
Read your Bibles, people.
Amen.
Read your Bibles. God bless you till the time appointed.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.